Well, the topic I have today is one of the difficult topics in the subjects in the Sermon on the Mount. And I try to do justice to that. I've been grappling with it for a few weeks and thinking about it and trusting that the Lord will enable us. So in opening up, if you have your own Bible, you can turn to Matthew 7. You keep it open, please. And you could see there the title is Concerning Judging Others or our Brothers. So as a way of introduction, so I want to say this. Our relationship with God, the vertical aspect of our faith, our relationship to God, is only one side of a coin, isn't it? So if you have a coin, you should to know the value of the coin, or to validate it, it has to really meet the standard. Whether it's note, you have the picture on this side, $20 note, it has to meet the expectation, isn't it? So this is one side. Also, the other side is our relationship with one another. Both they complete who we are in the Lord. Because it's not enough for us to relate to God, to please Him as we have been hearing, to love Him with all our hearts, you see, and to trust Him. And yet we fail to also to relate to our brothers in the body, in the kingdom. Both they complete who we are. This is the full truth. This is how we please our God. We please Him by trusting Him and obeying Him in His word and loving Him and serving Him. At the same time, also treating our brothers the way He would want us to treat them, because in that way we complete the law and the prophets. This is how we express our faith as Christians. That is what we are unique for. That is what we are unique for. That is what pleases our Savior and Jesus, that He would not leave this topic alone without touching it in His greatest sermon that is known as the Sermon on the Mount. So what did Jesus say about judging others? So in verse 1 to 5, first of all, Jesus banned severe and hypocritical judgment of others. Jesus bans it. That is why He says, do not judge. So that is a no-go zone. He is not saying you might not judge, but He's saying, no, you don't do it. I've mentioned many times that there are few English words that I find so difficult to pronounce, one of which was success. So I had success. Another minister whose English is his first language, he said he had trouble at pronouncing necessary. So, necessary. You see, I don't know, paradigm. So we used to say paradigm, you know, or sovereign, you know. Yeah, so here, this word hypocrisy, because it's not English word, actually, is Greek. So Jesus banned hypocritic judgment of others. So what does it mean to judge someone? Is to express an opinion about someone or something, to exercise judgment upon someone else. If our Lord must stop there, and without elaborating on, like, what next? He said, do not judge. No. He went on to complete the sentence. You know, English words, sentence is made up of two parts. You've got subject, the subject, and the predicate, you see. So now Jesus wants to complete this to us, so that it's a teaching. It's a teaching. Sermon on the Mount is a teaching. Jesus teaching about how we should judge other people. And then He said, no. Some people, they said, I think I consulted a Merriam-Webster dictionary, which says it means behavior that contradicts what one claims to believe or feel. See? So that is how you judge other people, about something you think that is how it should be. But here, what does it mean when Jesus said, do not judge for us today? So does that mean that even we see something wrong, we can't say this is wrong? That is not what he's saying. Actually, he says here in verse 6, do not give dogs what is sacred. How do we discern these are dogs? Because obviously it's referring to people. We are to discern. We have to make a judgment, isn't it? He says also in John 7, 24, he says, don't judge according to the outward appearance of things. You see, just as things appear, but be just. So you need that divine knowledge to be able to judge rightly. But here, what Jesus is saying here, not to judge others, is we need to explain it more. So he's saying, in the second part, say, or you too will be judged. So he's saying a judgment that is not in the right place, a judgment that is not of God, that is not right, is not acceptable. Because if you think by your own righteousness and your perfections, you think the other person is not perfect, actually God is going to use that measure against you. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. God will test you in that areas. If you think that the person is not loving, so are you loving? If you think this person is proud, are you not proud? So the first thing is you. What about you? That is what Jesus will give in his illustrations. He says it's very dangerous because we need to be mature enough to have the knowledge from God that when we exercise any judgment will be really what it is that God will want us to. Because he says if we do that without really ourselves being aware that what that will involve, and then we run the risk of being really found in the wrong. And that is what really Jesus is going to elaborate on more and more. Because this is a harsh judgment that neglects other provisions, other truth, other really aspect of our conduct as Christians. He's using the same thing. So he is so just. So how you go about judging other people, this is how God is going to judge you. And now why Jesus says this is hypocrisy. Because he says it's a judgment that really does not put into account your own situation, your own state. This judgment that you are passing on, you ignore the fact that you are needy yourself. The very thing that you are judging the other person, you need to fix it first. That is what he uses in his illustrations. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eyes and pay no attention to the plank in your own eyes? That is what he's saying. He says, what you think is a bigger problem in your brother's life, well, actually, it's very small compared to your problem, compared to what you are judging him for. So you are not qualified to pass on that judgment. And so he said plainly, those who judge others in that way, they will be harshly judged by God himself. That is what he is condemning in 3 and 4. Superficial or a view, just that does not take time to assess something for what it is. So that is few minutes attention to a problem without real understanding what is behind. So we take a quick action to judge other people, to see the wrong of others, that overlooks and we overlook our own deadly sin. That is what it's saying. The thing that will just crush us. before God is the very thing that we are neglecting. So Jesus is saying in the course of discipleship that we are to be careful here. But this is definitely doesn't say what the world is saying, to be judgmental, because that is what is happening. Well, look, Jesus, yes, doesn't want us to be judgmental, but he wants us to judge fairly. And so why would you want to look at that which is small, and then you avoid actually dealing yourself with the big problems? If you think someone is stingy, are you generous? You see, if you think someone is, as I said, this is unloving, are you loving? If you think this person is very proud, are you humble? You see, always it's not about the wrong and the other person. It's the opposite with us as God's children. We are not to compare ourselves with others outside there. So always Jesus is warning us from the negative, because he wants us to be in the positive. Because that is the expectation of a disciple, is to be able to be discerning rightly, and to be not to be quick in his judgment of others, and not to be really claiming righteousness. So Jesus says that sometimes we look into the small things in other people's lives and then we neglect. And actually, if then now he gives us a way out. So he provides a divine perspective on how to make a very just judgment or assessment of others. And so that is what he says. He says, when he says, how can you say to your brothers, how can that be? How can that be? That is what he's saying. How can that be true? That you, as a disciple, that you overlook what you are having as a problem. How? That you explain it yourself. But Jesus provides a way out. He said, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eyes. So you take it out. You deal with what you have so that you will be able to see clearly. You see, you will see through God's eyes. You see, that is what he says. You see clearly because you have come to realize that you need to deal with that very thing yourself. And then you will be able to judge justly and not harshly. And so now the whole world there, they say, oh, Christians are judgmental. No. We are not to be passive about making a right judgment between the wrong and the right, right moral and wrong morals. We are not to be just like people who just follow people if things are wrong, not to call them out. No, that is not what Jesus is saying. But Jesus is saying when we do that, we make sure that we are giving a good example. But we are certainly to stand firm and strong to say, this is not so. We are not to approve of anything that is not conforming to the Bible. You see, we are not giving uncritical approval to any situation that overlooks God's righteousness. That is very important for us to know that. But what Jesus is warning is like, not to be found in the fault, not to be in the wrong place. That is a challenge, isn't it? Because this he's winding up the teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And certainly, verse 12 will be an inclusion. So you go back to chapter 5, verse 17. You see, 5:17, what it says. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophet. And then he will say, but he came to fulfill it. And then also in verse 12, 7:12, he would say, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sum up the law and the prophets. So I will come and explain that later. So Jesus here, in all that we have been hearing, so he was just like driving us to fulfill the law and the prophets. That is the purpose of the Sermon on the Mount, that we fulfill the law and the prophets. That we fulfill the demands of being in the kingdom of God. Because the law and the prophets, they were ushering in the kingdom of God. And now Jesus is saying, you citizen of the new kingdom, this is if you do this, and then you fulfill the law and the prophets. You are truly, like what Jesus said, you are truly my disciples if you hold to my truth. So here Jesus says, this is the way for you. Deal with these things first. You yourself examine and have an honest assessment of your heart, and then you will be able to really relate to other people in such a way that they will be admonished, they will be encouraged themselves, because it's, the Lord will not tolerate that. Because as I said earlier, this is how we are going to please God, and this is how we are going to live as disciples of Christ, to be strong and to be mature in our faith and to be free from the cares of this world. So Jesus is urging us to do this even in our day-to-day. But I'm aware that we live in a time where people are very sensitive when they are being really corrected. They don't want to do that. Maybe the correction sometimes is not in the good spirit, but nevertheless, we are to follow the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. So now Jesus moved to say, as I said, we are to deal first with what is the biggest problem, because that was the problem of the Pharisees. The Pharisees, actually, they were seeing the small things in other people's lives. But themselves, they were not applying what they were demanding of other people. You see, Jesus really had trouble with them, and he warned them, and Jesus really judged them. And Jesus can judge because he is God. And he knows these people very well. And so Jesus is teaching us today to deal with the biggest problems, and then the other things will be very small, and we will be able to deal with them. We will help people. We will remove the speck from your brother's eyes. And you just need to note that this is a brother, isn't it? And as you do this, you are doing them good. You see, Jesus is not saying that you don't take this out from their eyes. But actually, you need to be free. And when you come to a brother, even like, you know, if your brother sins against you, go to them. You see? Yeah. So if you go, and you will win your brother if you go in the right spirit, having dealt with your own issues, not proud and not judging them to death, but actually the aim is to help them to live out their faith as believers. That is what Jesus is saying. So this is a brother, and we are to help a brother, but not to judge a brother. And now Jesus is saying this, the next verse 6, do not give dogs what is sacred. Well, this seems to be contradicting, isn't it? When he says this, he is judging people as dogs, isn't it? That is what he's saying. He says, do not give dogs what is sacred. So here, this is the second part of what he's sharing. What he says about sharing the gospel with the hostile opponents of the gospel. So this is what he's saying. He's saying the truth that we have so is sacred. And so when we go to the unbelievers who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we try to share the gospel with them, and so we are to be discerning. We have to have the right judgment. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit, whether we share this with them. Because if we don't go really in the right spirit, if we are not careful, because we will be like people throwing our pearls to the pigs, the dogs and the pigs. So is a Philistine. So Jesus is talking in the context of Philistines in those days. The dogs were just on the streets, really wild and grabbing everything, you see. And if the picture here, if you have a pearl and you give it to a pig, they will taste it and they won't like it. You see, it's not their food, you see, and then they may just drop it and then they turn to you and they grab you. That is what really the picture Jesus is bringing to us. He said, like, if we throw this, this valuable truth of the kingdom of God, we give it to people, we are not led to share it with them. Well, they will not like it, and then also they will harm us. And in modern days, like, we may trigger persecution. When Christians are called to avoid bad things, isn't it? Lead us not to temptations. We are not to throw ourselves into dangerous situations. But if the Lord God has ordained them, we are to face them. But we are not to get ourselves into places where we would be harmed and we would expose ourselves to danger. This verse teaches that. As in the course of evangelism, we are to be careful not to go to people that the Holy Spirit may say to us that this is a no-go zone. I give you some examples. When I used to witness to Muslims in Egypt and everywhere, it's a very dangerous thing. See, if you do this to someone who is not under the grace of God, the control of God at that time, you run the risk of exposing yourself to danger, isn't it? But when the Holy Spirit prompts you to face this, you can share the gospel even with the worst terrorists on earth. And these things are connected. So to have the right attitude, discernment, and how to approach other people and judge them, and not to be a hypocrite, you see? So it just linked together. Also, would like to have the right discernment and the right judgment on when to share the gospel and who to share it with. You are to be led by the Holy Spirit. You do this for two reasons. First, it's a precious word of our God. We don't throw it on the floor. It's so precious. So we are called to be defender of the truth. And defend it is not just we go and then we fight with people who reject it, but actually even to guard it, to preserve it, and to hold it as something precious, that we don't throw it to those who will not value it, unless we go to the people that the Lord wants us. Even if they reject this, we have been led, but they might not be hostile against us. But Jesus is warning against those who will be really, will reject the truth and also will be hostile to us. So the Lord is warning against that. Now, how do we get that attitude of not judging other people or discerning how to share the gospel and to avoid those who are hostiles and to value the truth of our God? So we are to ask. We are to be a people who ask, who pray, isn't it? Verse 7. We are to pray. We are to seek. We are to seek to be godly. We are to knock the doors. You see, the doors be open to us, that we come and be with Christ and to teach us and to grow in our knowledge of Him and to grow in our faith and to mature so that we have the right discernment. So because He is faithful, whatever we ask Him for, we receive. That is what happens. And who knocks, the door will be opened. I just want to go through this quickly because we heard a sermon about it. So here is connected to judging other people. But now, the Lord says in verse 12, I want to jump to that. So this is what Jesus is saying. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sum up the law and the prophets. And so it's going back to summarize the judgment we exercise against other people, the discernments we have to guard the truth. So what is Jesus saying here when he says, we do to others what you would have them do to you? So if here you want people, it is good that you are loved by people, isn't it? But do you love people? It's good, really, to receive. But do you give? So the attitude, your attitude is what matters the most here and not the other. That is why the Lord Jesus said, do to others what you would have them do to you. It's not that you treat them with dignity so that they treat you with dignity back. Do you value them? Just for the sake of them. So it's not that we go and we just do good to people, so we expect the good that they do good to us. No, that is not what it's saying. That's not what this text is saying. We don't go and treat people nicely because they will treat us back nice. No, that is not what it's saying. It's saying treat them in such a way that your Heavenly Father will be pleased with you. Sometimes people will not treat you nice because you have treated them nice, isn't it? Lest we will just give away our faith, we will have troubles. We are not treated really badly because we have treated people bad, isn't it? It doesn't work like that always. So as Christians. But the Lord here is saying, let us not have high expectation of others, but all that we need to do is to treat people in such a way as the disciples of Jesus Christ. Because if we don't do that, and then we run the risk of failing to be truly the disciples of Jesus. So here is saying, do not ever give the precious truth to those who will not appreciate it. The true disciple of Jesus Christ should not push the gospel on the wicked who reject and oppose it. So in the course of serving the Lord himself, so we are to be aware that we are only to be led. So by pushing the gospel on the wicked often results in the ridicule, isn't it? So we will be ridiculed. So our relationship with outsiders always, like in verse 6, do not give dogs what is sacred, is to be governed by the Holy Spirit, is to be governed by how the Lord leads us to do that. So this golden rule in verse 12 would say something like this: healthy relationships in the body of Christ is a command, not an appeal or petition, especially if you want to apply this in our context. Not to judge one another. Jesus would not overlook these subjects of judging others in this great sermon. We observe that Jesus now is directing his teaching to address the horizontal, our relationship with one another, so that we can live a life that pleases God in our relationship with him, full of his blessings. God does not enjoy his severe judgment on his children. The Bible calls us to be strong and to be courageous. We are not to judge others, other brothers, but rather to persuade them to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So here today, here are a few things for you to take. So how do I come to exercise this truth not to judge? How can I come not to judge other people? Because here I need to understand that I have to be in the right spirit. I have to be in the right spirit. I have to be to know that the Lord himself will fill me with all that I need to have the right judgment of things. And now, and I cannot, verse 3, I cannot justify my own actions. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eyes when I neglect to see what I have in myself? So I have to humble myself first, and then to make sure that when I come to correct them, they will be able to receive this from me, because I come from a humble position. So this is a takeaway for us to exercise this. So all the Lord wants from us is to be able to be in the right. And so when we come and admonish one another, we will be able to help one another. And we need to know also that when we do this, we are fulfilling the law and the prophets. When we come to live and judge in such a way that the Lord is pleased, so we are completing the word of God. So here the Sermon on the Mount here is going to finish here. But it's just leaving with us these things that we find difficult to exercise, the judgment of others. First, sometimes we are judgmental, and we don't look into our own issues and troubles, so we think we are in the right, and we overlook the fact that we might be in the wrong. You see, so the Lord is calling us to be humbled when we exercise our judgment. So even the Bible says, do not judge according to outward, to the outward appearance of things, but when we judge, let your judgment be just, isn't it? We'll be in the light of the Spirit. The world today, they blame Christians. They think that Christians are judgmental, and just because we are not always exercising this Spirit-filled attitude when we come and we admonish in the right attitude. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. So exercise a good judgment in hope that they may exercise good judgment also against you. And as we do this, we will be truly disciples of Jesus Christ. What did we read in the Old Testament? Numbers, isn't it? It was about Eldad and Medad. Eldad and Medad, they were really prophesying in their tents. And Jesus and Moses was with Joshua. They were with the elders. But these two people, they didn't make it to the tent. And what happens when Joshua realized that those men, they were also prophesying? And then they said to Moses, can you stop these people from prophesying? They were not submitting. And then what did Moses say? And he said, no, I wish that all Israel prophesy. I wish all Israel prophesy. So he exercised the right judgment. That was what Moses says. So what are we to do with judging others? First thing they say, we are not to be judgmental. No, but we are told not to judge according to the outward appearance of things, but in every judgment we make, we are to be just. That is what the Bible says. And this is what Jesus is driving us to. He's driving us to exercise wisdom. He's asking us to deal with our own issues first. We need to have clear eyes. Jesus is asking us not to put our judgment in the wrong place. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. What are we going to take away from this place today? Are we going to not exercise any judgment? No, but actually we are called to be just as we make that judgment. This is an application. We are to be just by looking to ourselves first and then to deal whether we in ourselves we have attitude of judging others on the wrong basis. When ourselves we are overlooking really what could be a trouble in our lives. We are also to be careful when we share the gospel with others. And so we are to be careful not to, we are to judge really rightly, not to throw really what is valuable to the wrong place, to people who will not appreciate that. We are to be led. And also, we need to know that before we come and demand other people to act righteously, we are to be upright more than they. And there is a way for us to do this, is to humble ourselves under the Lord Almighty God and to plead with Him and to walk rightly with Him, and then we will be able to exercise the right judgment. So the call is for us not to judge, lest we will be judged. Because if we use the wrong approach to judging others, and then we will be found as people who have more trouble, who have a plan in our own eyes than a speck in the eyes of other people. This is hypocrisy, the Lord says. And then the Lord's people should not have such an attitude. But all that we need to do, we are to ask and to seek and to knock. And this could be an application for us in this place. We are to be a people who are courageous to walk right with God. We are a people called to exercise the right judgment, not knowing that the Lord himself, he sees our hearts and he knows where we are standing. And then we are to know also that he is able to help us. How shall we respond to this? What can we do here? Sometimes there are things that we don't want to apply this text to means, not to make any judgment of things. No, that is not what he's saying. When we are called not to judge according to the outward appearance of things, but when we judge things, we are to be just. That is what the Bible says. So we are to be just when we judge things. And that is why he says we first take out the plank out of our eyes, and then we will be able to see clearly and remove the speck from your brothers. This is an application for us today. We are really to be right with the Lord and to see things clearly as they are, and then we will be able to help other people. That is one of the purpose of this text. You see, to help us to be right, to make the right judgment, is not to be passive, isn't it? And not to call the wrong things wrong. No. But really from a humble position, from a godly position, out of great understanding of this truth. Because the judge, he judges rightly. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. The Lord himself does not make mistakes in his judgment. But he's inviting us to be in the right position. Is that possible to attain? Yes. We are the disciples of Jesus Christ. If we humble ourselves enough and we have the right spirit and we know who we are pleasing, we have all the resources. You see, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the truth, and we have the humility that we need. So this is a great application for us. And we are also, when he says in the first verse, do not judge. And then also he said, do not give dogs. And so we are to discern. We are to discern where to place our trust and when to share the gospel and when to call people to repentance. And when we warn people, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. So the exercisement of, we exercise wisdom. If you do, they may trample them under their feet, is precious truth, and then they turn and tear you to pieces. Have you ever witnessed to people who are very hostile? Well, I cannot claim here that in all my evangelism or evangelistic endeavors that it was always nice. It was not always nice. There were times where I did an exercise in wisdom. Or I overstayed. One example, I was just at this shop. I was just prompted by the Holy Spirit. I think that 2005, I was visiting Cairo. And then I came down to this shop, and then we were engaged, and God was engaging these people. And then this guy came, and he said, what are you talking about? And everybody was excited. He said, oh, he's telling us about Jesus Christ. And he pulled out a big stick. He wanted to hit me. You see, probably I have overstayed there. But there were other times where... So this is a warning that we are not to cast these pearls, really, before those people. We are to exercise that wisdom. So do not give dogs what is sacred. This is a great teaching for us all. Some people, they just go try to push evangelism or to do it. No, we are not to do that. But we are asked to seek and ask and pray. Let us stand together. I don't know how you respond to this, because it's a difficult place to be, but you know yourself. Your attitude. Maybe you are in the extremes. Maybe you are silent always, not to share the gospel. Maybe you don't have any opinion about things. So the world in which we live today, you have to be nice and not to challenge things, isn't it? That is not what he's saying. When he said, do not judge. But we are told when we judge, we are not to judge according to the outward appearance of things, but we are to be just. How are we going to respond to these texts in our days? How can these texts help us? This text certainly does not encourage us to be passive, but he wants us to have the right spirit, isn't it? To have the right spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This text wants us to know that we are to act as Jesus would act. Do to others what you would have them do to you. They will not, you take the lead ourselves. So how are we going to respond to this? So my prayer for you this morning is not to be passive in your interaction with the world, but to take the spirit of the text with you. Let us pray.